Hello, and welcome to the Rooted in Reliability podcast, your plant performance podcast, where we dive deeper into asset management techniques and know-how. I'm your host, James Kovacevic, and I will be your guide to achieving industry best practice. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is here to provide you with the insights to improve plant performance and deliver bottom-line results to your organization. In case you missed the last episode, you can find the Rooted in Reliability podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and on the reliability.fm network. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. Now let's dive into today's topic. It is my pleasure to welcome back Brandon Wheel to the podcast. Welcome back, Brandon.
It's good to be back, James. Thanks for having me.
So Brandon, you've been on a couple podcasts now, but for those that may not be familiar with you, you are operations manager at Iridicio. Prior to that, I know you've had many positions in consulting at various organizations. And going back a little bit further, you were an electrician in the nuclear Navy. I believe you did some training in the Navy as well. What do you want to fill in?
No, that's about right. But that's how I got my start in maintenance reliability. You know, the Navy nuclear program really has a very regimented training programs and standards. And you really get an appreciation for operations and maintenance.
Yeah, absolutely. They were doing a lot of stuff in the 60s that some organizations are only starting to think about doing now. So definitely way ahead of the curve. And you don't hear of too many incidences where they have major maintenance related failures or disasters. So
it's generally frowned upon. Yeah.
So that being said, how long have you been involved in maintenance and reliability?
Boy, so basically since I went to the Navy in 98.
All right. So 98. So 20 years, give or take?
It's just about there.
Excellent. And at Iridicio, you focus a lot on, you know, either teaching or more specifically, a lot of coaching students, correct?
Yeah. I just spend a lot of my time mentoring and coaching students on, you know, various best practices and skill building, as well as application and with the types of projects that they pick, reliability engineering and planning and scheduling improvement projects.
Yeah, and one of those key things for the planning and scheduling improvement projects is the building of a job plan library. Now, sometimes that scares people, but before we dive into scaring people with that, what is a job plan library?
Yeah, no, that's a good question because you get all sorts of different answers. But to me, a job plan library is, you know, the collection of your what some people call standard work, right? So this could be PMs, it could be corrective work, various types of inspections, even, you know, operator care type tasks could be housed in there. So it's the collective knowledge that I can draw from and should be building and over time and you should have a continuous improvement aspect to it as well, be refining those plans.
So this is standard work. It could be the preventative, predictive, corrective, refurbishment, rebuild activities that our maintenance guys or operators are doing on a day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month basis, correct?
Yeah, exactly. That's a little more eloquent than I put it, but that's what I was getting at. Anytime you want something done with some relative confidence that it's going to be done the same way, that's the type of stuff that should be in there.
And why should we care if it's done the same way?
Variation is the enemy of reliability, as I say. So
yes,
really looking for if the task is designed well, it's. We'll take a PM, for example, right? It's failure mode specific. It's written to be where we take some sort of measurement. We're trending that measurement over time and we're looking for any sign of premature failure. I want to know that everyone's looking at that particular failure mode, you know, the same way. Now there's always the human variation element to it. So, you know, it needs to be written in a way that tries to reduce that human element as much as possible.
Yeah, but it's there. So when we ask someone to go inspect a pump, we're not going to get a response like, yeah, the pump is still there.
we're actually going to identify those specific things that we want every mechanic to look at, regardless of who is actually doing it.
Yep. It wouldn't be the first time that I saw that, you know, pump check, pump there type of task. And, you know, if I'm trying to train new individuals, new folks coming into the organization, you know, we've got a wave of retirement coming up, right? And there's a pretty big skills gap that's been mentioned for years now. You know, I want to, the folks that are coming in, I want to train them to do some sort of standard. So that standard would be contained in the job plan library.
Excellent. Now, for those that don't have a lot of job plans in their library or just starting off to develop these job plans so they're repeatable, minimizing variation, where do they start? Do they just start with every single work order that comes in?
No. We got two extremes right there, right? It's you know, every single work order that comes in and just give up. It's hopeless. It's overwhelming. No, it's somewhere in between the two is the right answer. So if I'm going to look for jobs that are done regularly. So maybe it's a repetitive type job. Those would be the ones that I would look to, you know, put in my job plan library first. I'd also look at, you know, maybe the complexity of the job and the risk associated with doing it wrong. So if it's something that requires a lot of precision, something that you got to do it in a specific order, or there's some sort of consequence to it, those are the types of jobs combined with that, you know, how often do we do it, that I'd be looking to build first in my job plan library. I'd also look at maybe asset class or, you know, classification. So if I have similar type assets, I have a lot of them, a particular pump, I might choose to do job plans associated with that pump because that job plan can potentially carry over to, you know, other assets of the exact same class or maybe a similar class with just some modification.
Yeah, absolutely. We need to pick where we start. And like you said, you know, those jobs that are repeatable, those jobs that are complex, those jobs that we can leverage across many different assets with our facilities, that's where we want to start. And even with starting with those in particular, you know, I always tell people that are new to this that, you know, pick two. Do two job plans that are good, that are going to go in this library each week. Don't try and plan 5, 10, 20 of them. Just pick two for now. And eventually we're going to hit that tipping point where we can start referencing that job plan library, speeding up the planning process, and allows us to do more and more and more properly planned work.
Yeah, it becomes self-feeding, just like you said. You know, I've got these job plans I can draw from. And once you build that library and it starts, you know, getting larger, you can just start making modifications. So if you've got to create something from scratch, it's obviously a lot harder. But once you've got a baseline to work from, it takes a lot less time to start building, you know, new job plans because you're able to beg, borrow, and steal things that you've written in other job plans that fit that particular one that you're trying to create.
Yes, absolutely. Now, we already talked about, does every potential job need a plan in the library? I think we kind of covered that. Now, there are times where I would say, you know, for certain breakdown jobs, maybe we do want that because we're focusing on a mean time to repair situation, or usually when we do those repairs, we have a lot of infant mortality. So how do we eliminate that? Well, through a good job plan. So does every potential job need a job plan, or are we going to pick and choose as we mature on what we're going to include and not include?
I think you end up picking and choosing as you mature, just because it would be overwhelming to try to cover every single job that you're ever going to do, you know, with a job plan. There's also, you have to have some idea of the baseline skill level of the technicians doing the job. So if I've got like a real basic pipe fitting job, I wouldn't necessarily create a very super detailed job plan, you know, for something that honestly should be routine based on the knowledge level within the organization. You know, do we have pre-testing, continuous training for our technicians, that kind of thing that would offset the need to have to create you know, a checklist for every little job out there.
Yeah. And that brings me to another point I hear often is, to what level do we write these job plans? And I think you touched on it. And to me, that is the lowest level within your organization that you're going to assign this work to. So if you're going to assign this work to a first year millwright or a mechanic, then that's the level you have to write it to. I don't know. Do you agree, disagree?
I agree that you can't assume that they're going to know everything, especially if you're intending it to be to a first level, you know, a first year technician that's doing that job. So you'd have to write it probably a little more detailed than maybe some of the other jobs. And you just get, you get a feel for it, I guess, the more you build these job plans, along with the feedback from the tradespeople, right? If they're coming back to you and saying, hey man, you nuked this out, this is overkill, then, you know, you probably don't need to make it any more detailed. But if you're creating job plans and they're getting into the library and they get back out to the field and they come back with a bunch of notes on them, that's telling you that you may be missing the mark as far as level of detail.
Yeah, and I think that'll vary by company to company, even site to site, depending on what that skills training program is, the level of training when new technicians come in, those sorts of things. So I'll play a role in that.
Yeah, there's no perfect answer for it. And that's, where a lot of people get hung up as well. One of the techniques that I use to kind of overcome that is I will get a couple of different technicians in the room to help me create that job plan. And we use a technique that uses sticky notes, and you put them on the wall and you're organizing them into breaking it down into basically a hierarchy of, here's the high level job, and then here's all the kind of details that need to go into it and the sorts of things that need to be included. And when you facilitate that exercise, the more questions you ask of the group, the more you realize that there's a lot of variation in the room, you know, with how these guys have done the job in the past, and they start to figure that out. And collectively, you end up coming up with a job plan that has the right amount of detail because everybody contributed to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing. We need that diverse input to make a good job plan. That's not saying a planner can't develop the initial draft and have others review it and build on it. But we need to have multiple inputs looking at this because everyone has their own different opinion and own experience with doing that job, which ultimately we want to arrive at the safest, most effective way to do that work. And the only way we're going to get that is with those multiple perspectives.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the safety aspect of it too, because you know, there may be elements that have to be done in a certain order just from a safety standpoint, right? And that's especially the kind of stuff that I want to include in that job plan and highlight those things to make sure that everyone's doing the job consistently and safely.
Now, once we actually get these written, there's always a debate for this. Where do I store them? Do I put them in the CMMS? Do I put them on SharePoint? Do I put them in Dropbox? Where do I actually put these things?
All of the above is correct. in my mind, right? If I had to pick, you know, Brandon's perfect world, I would have them in the CMMS. You know, I'd have them tied to that particular asset or asset class, depending on how your CMMS is organized, in a way that also, most importantly, that other people can get to, right? Because if the planner is the only one that knows that the job plans are there and how to get to them, that doesn't necessarily add a ton of value. I mean, it's great if the planner can provide those to folks, but if, you know, like you mentioned, if you have a breakdown situation, somebody's got to go in there and get it, to more effectively manage the breakdown and restore function, they're going to need to be able to get to that, right? So, some CMMSs organize it a lot easier than others. And it's kind of one of those, it depends answers.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. The one key thing you mentioned though, is that, you know, make sure wherever we store it, however we store it, it's stored in a way that the maintenance supervisors or the technicians can at least view it and print it or download it for those instances where there is a breakdown and so on and so forth, right? We want to be able to maximize the visibility of that knowledge bank essentially across our department and leverage it.
Yeah. And even if the job plan doesn't fit, 100% for the situation that you're in, you know, there may be some elements of it that that will jog your memory as far as you, you know, you're trying to repair or test, you know, or restore function to this asset, because it's going to be in an upset condition normally, right? If you have a breakdown. So there may be some unknowns, but having kind of a baseline repair job, job plan would definitely be helpful.
This podcast is brought to you by Iridicio. Be sure to check out iridicio.com for a free copy of their ebook, A Smarter Way of Preventative Maintenance. This ebook will allow you to review your current maintenance program and eliminate the non-value-added work you're doing, which is most likely causing you more downtime than it is preventing. www.iridicio.com.
Yes, absolutely. Now, the one thing you mentioned, though, whether it's class specific, and that made me think of something. When we write these job plans, are we writing them class specific or are we writing them asset specific?
So it'd be a mixture of both. And you're going to have, you know, very specific ones because an asset is configured. There might be some piping interference or electrical interference as you're trying to maybe remove a pump, or there's some sort of, you know, modification, engineering modification to it because it's got a special process requirement. So those are the types of, you know, ultra specific details that I'd want to have in a asset specific job plan. Now, I may start with the class specific one, writing it so that I can apply it to, you know, all the assets that are that use that asset class. And then after that, go back and add those additional details.
Yeah. And I think that's part of what the planner needs to be thinking about when they're writing these is, okay, let's do a class specific one. Let's name it appropriately so everyone understands what this is. Might be class, subclass, so pump, centrifugal. Maybe there's an indicator that it's preventative or predictive or corrective maintenance, and then what that actual task is. That way people can find it relatively quickly.
Yeah. And there's going to be some things that are, you know, pretty much exactly the same across the board. And then there's going to be things that are very specific to how that particular asset is configured.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, what is the best format for these? Should these be in Word, PDF, directly in the work order of in the CMMS? What's the best approach?
Boy, I have seen all of the above. And you're going to hear that a lot in this one because there's more ways than one to skin that cat. So, you know, some CMMSs, it's very easy to attach documents to a job plan, and they don't particularly like how it spits out on the work order. So they may choose to, you know, put it in a PDF or Word file that prints out, you know, when that work order prints out. And that's great. Other times folks don't want to do that, or there's some restrictions on, you know, attaching documents. And so they try to put it all into the text of the work order. Hey, if that's what the technicians like seeing and they're actually using it and reading it, and it's formatted in a way that you can follow, you know, go for it. So it's one of those things that you really, the planner, you know, that needs to have a conversation with the technicians and the maintenance manager and the maintenance supervisors and kind of get a collective decision on what works best for the site and then run with it.
Yeah. And I think that conversation comes down to, as well as once we pick that, that's the format moving forward. So people aren't looking in the CMS, in Dropbox or SharePoint or whatever it is they're using to hold those job plans and do that. That becomes the one universal or single source of truth, if you will.
Yep. Yeah. Cause you end up with a mess, right? If you've got all those different storage spots, or, you know, so-and-so has got it in there private folder that they've collected over the years and no one can get access to it. And you know, that doesn't do anybody any good.
Yeah. Now, once we've figured out where we're going to store all this stuff, how should we structure that library to make it easy to use? Have you seen anything in the past?
Yep. I've seen, you know, attached to the asset itself, right? Which obviously makes it really easy. If I am going to that asset in the CMMS and I pull up the job plan library, almost like a bill of materials, right? That's associated with that asset. Awesome. That makes it super easy. If your CMMS isn't configured like that or can't be configured like that, I've seen folks, you know, almost recreate their hierarchy, their equipment hierarchy in, you know, like a Dropbox or a shared file. or a SharePoint file, you know, system, something like that. And they'll store them, you know, in that. Now, where that gets difficult is if you're making updates to your equipment hierarchy, you got to go back into, you know, this other system and make sure that that's, that matches the hierarchy. So you can end up with kind of double entry there. But so it's a workaround essentially, but I've seen folks do that. You know, if the CMMS is not conducive to storing them there.
Yeah, I would be one of those individuals who did such a thing when I first started using SAP. I built my entire hierarchy, but it worked. Everyone in the department knew where it was. And since it was the same hierarchy that was in the CMMS, they could find what they needed because they're familiar with it. But like you said, there's that double entry piece, having to move stuff around, and that happens.
Yeah.
I've also seen some organizations where they integrate a good document management system with their CMMS, like SAP or Maximo or whatever the case is. So it's organized in that document management system, but also linked to the assets. So I've seen some very good systems set up that way.
Yeah, those are nice when they're done like that. Yeah.
Now, who owns this library? Is it the planner?
That's my opinion, and the opinion of many others is that the job plan library, you know, the planner owns it. They own the maintenance of it, the update of it, and the creation of it, essentially. You know, when we get new equipment in, now we can have a debate though, right? If you've got a project engineer that's running that, if you're making, you know, some basic job plans, bills of material, drawings, that kind of stuff, part of that project, which I recommend doing because it's a lot easier to do it up front than later. That's a whole nother podcast, project management, right? Engineering project management. But if that's done up front, you know, I would expect to see some at least basic job plans, you know, for some of the preventative maintenance, and maybe even some of the corrective maintenance, depending on what you get kind of from the vendor and during that process, to be put into the job plan library.
Yeah, I definitely have to agree with you. The planner owns it for all that stuff that's going on, but new projects, that's, like you said, a whole another topic that we can have lots of discussions about. Now, are there any other thoughts on job plans that we didn't cover that you want to toss anything in on?
Not that it comes to mind, but you know, it's something that a lot of folks seem to be very familiar with, the idea of having a job plan library when it comes to PMs, right? Because it's something that we're all very pretty much familiar with. If you have any sort of preventative maintenance program, you already have a basic job plan library because that's for the most part where the PMs come from, right? And they generate, they come out, and it's the content within that PM. But I see a big gap in the other side of it, which is, you know, any of that corrective work. I don't see a lot of job plans, job plan libraries containing that kind of content. And there's definitely a missed opportunity there.
Yeah, absolutely. We can work to address that 6 failure curve, if you will, or failure pattern, the infant mortality one. If we have good job plans, we should be able to reduce some of those because people are going to install things properly. They're going to install them to the specifications and so on and so forth that we provide.
Yeah. It's, you know, you'll see the PM says inspect the chain. And even that usually is kind of weak from what I see as far as in general, you know, the content not being real strong as far as exactly the specifications for inspecting the chain. And then, you know, you'll see the old replace as necessary in there. Okay, well, one, I should be having a separate job or a separate work order for that corrective so that I can, you know, track my corrective to PM ratio. But aside from that, you know, when we put in this new chain, how am I ensuring that it's done to the right specifications so that I'm not out there changing it, you know, a week or two later? And I just see a lot of opportunity. I have the opportunity to see quite a few you know, existing job plans, different organizations out there, and it just continues to be a huge gap.
Yep, absolutely. Now, for those organizations where they have been successful, why do you think they are successful with this?
Discipline to continue the process. You know, they don't get hung up on it's got to be perfect and it's got to be perfect tomorrow, or, you know, it's all or nothing type of attitude. It is a slow process to build that job plan library, but the ones that are successful, you know, they get started on it, they make it a priority. They set aside a certain amount of time every week to rewrite and work on these job plans. And those are the ones that end up getting ahead.
Excellent. Now, what is the one action you want our listeners to take away from this conversation on job plans today?
Get started on them. that's the one. You know, don't accept the status quo. Go back to some of your job plans with a different set of eyes, you know, and really ask yourself, could this first level, you know, year one technician do this work and do it consistently? And a lot of times you're going to find that the answer is no. And you're going to even have the 20 or 30 year guy out there that's going to take that job and do it completely different, or maybe even do it wrong because they were taught some bad habits and never really had, you know, good training on precision maintenance techniques. So that's, I'd say go back with a set of eyes and take a look at them objectively.
Yep. And like you said, my big thing is get started now.
Just get started. Just start.
There's that saying, when's the best time to plant a tree? 20 years ago. What's the second best time? Now.
Right. Right. That ship is sailed, but you know, if you don't get started now, you're not going to be setting yourself up for success in the future.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, Brandon, I want to thank you for taking the time to talk to us about job plans today. But before we go, where can people find out more about you? Where can they get any resources or information on job plans and job plan libraries and so on and so forth?
Yeah, you can go to our website. It's eruditio.com, E-R-U-D-I-T-I-O, to learn more about the different training and coaching opportunities that we provide, as well as you can find me on LinkedIn. Under Brandon Wheel for Eruditio. And I'm on Twitter at Reliability Goat.
So I'm going to ask that question because I'm sure listeners are wondering.
Yeah, I've got a goat picture up there, right?
Why Reliability Goat?
Well, I wanted, you know, a handle that was a little bit different. But also my goat was my nickname throughout high school and in the Navy. Everybody called me the goat. So it just kind of stuck. So it's at Reliability Goat.
All right. We'll find out why they called you the goat later, but we'll do that over a drink or two sometime down the road.
There we go.
All right. Well, thank you very much for talking to us about a job plan library today. Hopefully it provided some insights to our listeners and I appreciate it.
All right, James. Thank you. Thanks for having me again.
I would like to thank you for listening and remind you that you can always find out more on maintenance, reliability, and asset management at www.eruditio.com and by following our blog. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is a proud member of the Reliability.fm network. I'd like to ask you to please rate and review this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. It ensures the podcast stays relevant and is easy to find by like-minded professionals. It is only with your ratings and reviews that the Rooted in Reliability podcast can continue to grow. I thank you for providing this small but critical support. We'll see you next week when we dive into another burning topic with Rooted in Reliability, your plant performance podcast.